Good evening, and you're very welcome to episode 7 of season 4 of the League of Ireland Women's podcast here on finalwhistle.ie. Yes, you might notice there is no Aaron Clark with us tonight, unfortunately, a little bit under the weather, won't be joining us this evening, but we do have enough to keep us chatting for the next 45 minutes to an hour or so with our guest this evening. It's been a bright start to her career in the League of Ireland over the last season and a bit at Sligo Rovers and Athlone. And she has set the league alight with some absolutely scorching goals this year. One thunder rocket against her former club, Glentoran, and then that beautiful little finish to seal the win against Peamount just a couple of weeks ago. With a lovely little dink over the top of Niamh Reid-Burke to complete the scoring for Athlone in her new club. I'm delighted to welcome Casey Howe to the programme. Casey, you're very, very welcome.
Thank you for having me.
No problem at all. I suppose before we get into the specifics of it, we might just take a quick look back, and I suppose you're going to maybe just fill in for Aaron at the moment. You might have seen all the games, but I'm just going to run through some of the scores of the last couple of days in the Avenir Women's Sports Cup. And of course, there was a full round of fixtures. You yourself were involved. You came off the bench against your old club, Sligo Rovers. We'll start there maybe. Your thoughts on the game, a 2-1 win for yourselves in the end. The other player who went the opposite direction, Myrne Devaney, grabbing a consolation for Sligo late on, but a solid performance from Athlone. Are you happy in the dressing room after the game?
Yeah, I think we were a bit frustrated. I don't think we performed as best as we could. You know, it was a tough game. Sligo really, really did put it up to us. And, you know, they probably did. They were the better team in the second half. And, you know, we were disappointed coming into the change room after the game. Because we did take control, I feel, in the first half and had plenty of chances to, you know, put the game to bed. And then a 2-0 at halftime, it's kind of one of them scores that sometimes if the next goal, whoever gets the next goal kind of goes on. So we are delighted to get the 3 points in the group, but I don't think we were happy with our overall performance. And I think coming into next week, we'll really need to step that up again.
Of course, the game against Galway in the next round of the Avenir Sports Cup. But that does mean the two wins against your two former sides, two of your former sides, Glentoran and Sligo Rovers. It means you will progress to the quarterfinals. Job done, as far as it's concerned?
Yeah, definitely. We had set kind of the goal to get the first 6 points at least in the group and then go on to Galway, you know, knowing that we are through to the quarterfinals. So it kind of, I suppose, gives us that bit of a leeway to really focus on the league now. And, you know, that's something we're going to push towards is winning that league. And it gives us that sort of, when now we know we're through, it's a good platform to have to hopefully then go and win all trophies this season.
I like the fight and talk. We might come back to that cross-border thing in a little while, because obviously you being from the north of Ireland, haven't played in the league up there for a ridiculous number of years for someone as young as yourself. I think you were first involved probably at the age of 14 or 15, maybe with Linfield. We'll talk about that kind of coming into the league then, but maybe let's look at Athlone right now, because as you mentioned, the league is now the priority. You're looking at winning it. You've started pretty well, 7 points from 4, second in the table. It's not a bad start for Athlone. You must be kind of really happy with how it's started in your time down there.
Yeah, definitely. We've had some good results this season. I think we kind of set our goal as 9 points out of the first sort of 4 games. So we are a bit, I suppose, under that, but looking at where we are at in the table and, you know, other results, it is a very, very tight league this year. A lot of teams have strengthened, so every game is tough. So we are delighted to be in second place, but, you know, like, we want to go and win it, so we need to, like, get 3 points every single week, and that's not easy. There's no easy games, as I said. Like, every team is strengthened, and we are looking to push on from here on in. We have a good run of games now in the next month, and we're looking to try and get maximum points from the next few games.
Let's talk about that game, your last league game against Peamount. Scored a penalty early on, and then I don't even know how to describe the goal, but for the benefit of anyone who hasn't seen it yet, go check it out. It's on YouTube, on the FAI channel. You'll find that it's all over YouTube. Just Google Casey Howe lob or chip or whatever you want to call it. Talk us through it from your point of view, because the ball breaks down the left and ball gets whipped across. And did you mean to do exactly what you did, or was it a little bit of luck and a little bit of planning?
Yeah, I think, you know, my body shape of where I was and the way the ball came in, it was the only thing I could have done to get the ball like almost behind myself from that angle. I don't really want to say it's luck because I definitely meant to shoot, but yeah. It was just in my head, it was get it in the direction of the goal and anything can happen and luckily, yeah, I suppose it went nicely over the goalkeeper and as if
that wasn't enough to have kind of a goal like that. Most people kind of, that's the highlight of their careers. For you, it might not even be the highlight of the month. It's been a pretty impressive month for you. You made your competitive debut for the senior side in Northern Ireland. It's been a while coming. You've been banging in goals north and south for the last 5 or 6 years. Still only 21, so very, very young yet in the modern day football world. But talk us through, I suppose, how you found out you were in the squad and what that whole experience was like for you.
Yeah, look, it's something I talked to Kieran about at the start of the season. You know, it's a goal of mine to get back involved and get back in the Northern Ireland setup. Haven't been out of it for quite a while. And it has been a frustrating couple of years. You know, like, I've worked incredibly hard both on and off the pitch to put myself in position to get back into the squad. And for it to come so early on in the season, I was delighted with. And, you know, it's just kind of given me that taster that's what I want to do now. I want to push on. I want to be in the next squad. And then I want to get more minutes and then push on from there and hopefully then start starting games and cement my place in the team. And it has really given me that sort of taster of what international football entails. And I want to be a part of that and really like push my own game on as well as helping both club and country.
Well, let's rewind a little bit then, maybe 15, 16 months to the approach or the decision to go to Sligo Rovers, because as we mentioned, you played Champions League every season for 4 or 5 years up north, knocking in goals, probably goal every two games or better average across a number of seasons in and out of the kind of the Northern Ireland consideration. And then you make the decision to go to Sligo. And to be fair, it's probably not, from the outside looking in, it doesn't make a whole pile of sense going from winning leagues and cups to a team that's struggling in the League of Ireland. What was the motivation to make that decision to, I suppose, drop down and build again?
I'd had a real tough year that season. It was a frustrating year for me in terms of, I suppose, international selection. I'd been working really hard to get selected and not being involved was frustrating. And then I picked up quite a bad ankle injury, which set me back then even further. And then my uncle took his own life, and he would have been one of my biggest supporters. So it was just a real tough year all around. And when Steve Feeney approached me to come down to Sligo, I thought, you know, it's a clean slate. I don't know anyone, didn't know anyone even in the league. So it gave me a fresh start and a fresh opportunity to go and just show everyone like down in the League of Ireland like what I could do and really build myself back up. And Steve really gave me the license to do that and just go out and enjoy every game. And he gave me that sort of free role to just go and play. And I suppose that really helped build my confidence back up and help me and start enjoying the game again, because I'd kind of like started to lose the love for the game, and it gave me that sort of motivation to go and start enjoying the game again. And then it opened a few more doors for obviously now coming down to Athlone.
You definitely seem like you enjoyed definitely some of those games in Sligo last year. I think the 5 goals in the cup probably stands out as one of the highlights, but there was plenty of decent strikes in there as well. What were the highlights from that year in the showgrounds, and did it give you that love for getting back out and just playing again?
Yeah, definitely. You know, meeting new people was massive. Making new friends, and that was massive, because as I said, I genuinely went in knowing nobody. And just getting to know everybody, and then you know, there was a few highs in the season. You know, the first game of the season against Shamrock Rovers was a bittersweet. We were doing so well, and then to get beat late on, injury time winner, was frustrating. But it was like to have a big crowd at that game, and then again the FAI Cup semi-final against Athlone. You know, I know we got beat quite heavily, to be fair, but you know, we had a big support, which was massive. And there has been so many highs and obviously so many lows, but it did allow me to express myself and start enjoying football again and give me some opportunities to progress.
Yeah, I was at both those games, and you're right, the atmosphere, even though the results, particularly in the second game, didn't go your way, it was, the atmosphere was great, and the goodwill towards the girls within the club has always been phenomenal, to be fair to everybody down in the showgrounds. Then this winter comes. Did you know you were going to be making the move? Had you many approaches? What was going through your mind coming up to the last couple of games of last season when we entered that kind of silly season of where we're going to play next year? What were your options?
Yeah, so for me, I didn't consider anything until the season was finished. I wanted to finish it out strongly with Sligo. You know, I've always been that kind of player that I'm not going to make decisions before the season's out, because I want to give 100% to the club I'm at and to the team. And so it was, I suppose, after the last game of the season, it was just sitting down and sort of considering my options and what I could do to push myself on even further. And I did have a couple of clubs coming and contacting me and my agent and stuff, but it was
clubs. A few of the managers look here. They're kind of hoping you don't name them, but any chance you might let us know where you might have ended up or no?
No, I'll keep that quiet. But yeah, then I did have a few conversations with Ciarán and Athlone, and you know, what drew me to Athlone was, one, Laurie, she'll not mind me saying this, was hounding me, messaging me, you know, making me feel welcome before I'd even come in the door. And then having a few chats with Ciarán and him, like, obviously seeing like snippets of the style of football he wanted to implement last season when he came into Athlone, and then like him explaining to me, like, this is the way I want to play. And it's very attack minded, which for an attacking player, it's a dream. And with him being an attacking player himself, he's able to coach me through and improve my game individually, as well as implementing a nice, I suppose, attacking style of football to the team.
I might take a moment at this point just to say, if there's anyone watching this who wants to put a question to Casey, just drop it in the comments below on whatever social media platform you're watching us on, and we'll bring it in and we'll put it to her if it's going to continue the conversation. Casey, talk to me about the style of play. You mentioned it there, but Ciarán's kind of the way he plays suits your style, and you wanted to be part of that. It's been really nice to watch at times, particularly that goal we mentioned, the one against Pima, the second one. Just the speed and pace of the likes of Matty Gibson just seems to add so much to that team, and Roisin Molloy on the other wing as well as plenty of others that are there to contribute. It must be nice to be getting that kind of service from that type of player who can beat a player and get a cross in, and you can just do what you do and just stick the ball in the back of the net.
Yeah, definitely. Like, when you watch that go back, there's a lot of factors that play into the goal, like the likes of Janaea winning the ball on the edge of our box, breaking forward quickly and playing it to Shauna, who drove at the P-Mount defence to suck them in and then slip it to Maddy. And then obviously Maddy does what she does best, get down that line and put really good crosses in. And it's a dream to play with that style of football, because you're breaking forward quick and we have a quick front three. So to get to break, and especially like when you know that the players behind you, like as being your front three, the players behind you are going to like win that ball back and go forward quickly, it is a dream to play with, because you know you're going to get plenty of opportunities to put the ball in the back of the net.
Let's go back to the international stuff. I know we're going all over the place here, but there's just so much to get to. The international appearance this month, to be involved finally, to play in a competitive game, how much personal satisfaction do you get out of knowing what's gone on behind the scenes to get you back into that position?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I've worked my ass off.
You can say it. It's fine. We're on the internet.
I've worked hard, you know, all for the past number of years. And then it's kind of funny because we went into camp and there was a stomach bug going around camp. And I unfortunately picked it up and was sick for about 3 days, which ruled me out of the Malta game. And, you know, when you've waited that long and you've pushed that hard to get into the squad, and then when something happens, it's completely out of your control. It's frustrating. But I suppose it made it all the sweeter then to come on and get an assist against Bosnia. And it made it like a lot more special, that camp, that, you know, I've come through a lot over the past number of years, and then to come through that as well, it is special, and it's a special moment for me and my family and everyone that has supported me over the years and that's helped me get to where I am.
What's the plan on the international scene? Obviously, you want to be involved, but what's the ambition? They've played in the European Championships in the last games, not qualified this year, of course, but what's the mood like in the camp? There's a lot of players kind of reaching maybe a natural end to their careers in that squad as well. Where can Northern Ireland go from here? Because a lot of our viewers based in the Republic wouldn't be that familiar with the game in the North.
Yeah, I think, you know, with Tanya coming in, she's given a lot of opportunities to the younger players, and we do have a good crop of young players coming up that will be pushing the older players for their jerseys. And you see that with the likes of Kerry Halliday, who got a start there against Bosnia. You know, Tanya's not afraid to start the younger players and give them responsibility, which is massive for the progression of the football in Northern Ireland. And, you know, like we're not there to make up the numbers. We are still there to try and qualify. It's not that, oh, it's just we're going to rebuild and try and give players game time. It's Tanya's playing who she thinks is going to win the game. And that's really nice when you see that, like, players who are training really well during the camp are getting opportunities then to play and to start, which is massive. And it is something that is really helping me as a player. You know, you can look up and see players getting opportunities, and it's just then about taking them opportunities.
I suppose we've seen down here where the mood in the camp can change from positive to negative with situations that happen in every squad. What's the mood like in Northern Ireland? Is there optimism for the future under Tanya?
Yeah, definitely. You know, Tanya's very, very, she's very, very good in that she wants the best for all of us. And, you know, she has come in, and it's taken a while for us to really understand her strategies, and even her terminology is quite different. But you know, you know you're gonna get that when you know, like, she's a manager that's worked under Emma Hayes, and like she's one of the best female managers in the world. So and yeah, it's definitely
think your internet connection or mine might have dropped there briefly, Casey. I'm not sure if you can hear me, but we'll pick it back up now in a second. I'm not sure if you can hear our broadcast there, folks, or if you can hear me, or if it's Casey that's dropped out, but I might just take a run through the scores while we wait for Casey just to drop back in into the situation in a moment. So, yeah, Casey just dropped out. So we'll try and sort that out and get back to you in a moment. But the scores in the Avenir Sports Cup over the weekend, all the results down through the various competitions. Lisburn Ladies 0, Piemont United 6, Crusaders 0, Treaty United 2, Athlone Town 2-1 winners over Sligo Rovers, Wexford 6, Cliftonville 0, Galway United FC 4, Glentoran 0, Shamrock Rovers FC 4, DLR Waves 0, and Linfield 2-1 winners over Bohemians, while Shells had a 3-1 victory, a 3-0 victory over Cork City as well. The scorers have been going across the screen at the bottom of the screen there, but some really, really good performances over the course of the weekend. A hat-trick for Gemma Quinn in the first half against Shells wrapped that game up really early, and she was super impressive, particularly the second goal, very impressive from her. A dominant display from Shamrock Rovers, their first win of the season, a 4-0 victory in Talla against DLR Waves. A slightly changed DLR Waves, to be fair, but nonetheless, a really impressive performance from DLO or from Shamrock Rovers. As Casey just joins us again, we'll bring Casey back in. Casey, I think we dropped you there for a second, but you're back.
I don't know what happened there.
It's fine, it's the Irish internet. We're just going to go to the remainder of the fixtures, picking out some of the performances of the weekend. Ella Kelly getting her first goal to finish the scoring for Shamrock Rovers in that 4-0 win. I think a month after being the youngest League of Ireland player ever, she becomes the youngest League of Ireland goal scorer ever. So huge for her. Emily Corbett with two goals for Wexford as they had a big 6-0 win against Cliftonville. I might bring you in on that, Casey, because you're very probably in a well-placed position to be very up-to-date on what's happening across both leagues. You have a lot of players. I'm sure you're still friends with the girls you used to play with. That was a bit of a surprise for everybody. What was the thoughts from, I suppose, your circle of friends or the people you might have been chatting to about it?
Yeah, both the Glentoran and Cliftonville results, I was quite shocked at. I didn't expect the scoreline to be as high. And I suppose they're well underway in pre-season too, which like, fair enough, maybe if it had been the first game of the round, but I was quite shocked at the results. And I know the goals Cliftonville conceded, I suppose, were quite evenly spaced throughout the game. Whereas Glentoran's, I know, did come in the last, I suppose, 10 minutes. You had the first one in the first half, was it? But and then they all came in the last 10 minutes. Maybe that's fitness wise. But Cliftonville's, I was definitely shocked at.
He might not be on the show, but Aaron Clark has just got in touch to say he doesn't count Ella Kelly's goal because it wasn't in the League of Ireland proper. So she might have to score this weekend just to shut him up. He likes that humble pie when he gets a serving out. In terms of the other games, Linfield had a win, of course, former club of your own. The girls happy with that?
Yeah, I think they are. They're delighted to get that win. And I suppose they drew a Piemont as well in their first game. So it sets them up nicely to get potentially qualifying for the quarterfinals as well. So yeah, I'd say they're definitely buzzing. And, you know, they've strengthened quite a lot this season, probably more so than any of the rest of the clubs in Northern Ireland. So it is nice to see that they're pushing on again and they're sort of challenging again, because they went through a few seasons there where they weren't really challenging. So it is nice to see that they're back up there competing again.
Of course, if draw will be enough to put them through in second place, a win gives them an outside chance of topping the group. They're 5.5 goals behind Piemont on goal difference at the moment, but Pees did have that big 6-0 win at the weekend. Talk to me a little bit about Sion Swifts. Now, this is completely left field. I hadn't prepped you. I was going to ask you about this, but they were competitive in this competition last year. They've been competitive in the league. They've won cups in recent years. And this year, the players just seem to have scattered to the four winds. The club's gone and not taking part in the senior football in Northern Ireland anymore. You're from rural Northern Ireland, so you probably appreciate more than most how important these clubs are in the provinces and in the regions. How much of a loss is that to the western half of Northern Ireland?
Yeah, it's massive. You know, like Sion as a club can attract players from Donegal, from Derry, even from Fermanagh. I know a few of the younger players are playing, like from Fermanagh, are playing in Sion Swifts. And, you know, it is a massive loss to lose a senior club playing in the NIFL Premiership from Strabane, like our kind of rural side of the country. And it is massive because there is a big pool of players around the surrounding areas too. So I suppose it's probably frustrating for some of the players, the younger players coming up, looking up at the players playing in the Premiership, and now they're not. But I know they're now in the Championship, and we'll be looking to build and get back into the Premiership for next season potentially.
Was that ever a consideration for a young Casey Howe, or was Belfast always kind of the direction you were focused?
To be fair, I think Belfast was always sort of the direction. It's a lot easier for me to get to in terms of it's really just all motorway to get to Belfast from where I live, and whereas to go to Sharan is kind of back roads and windy wee roads, and it's easier for me. And I suppose a lot of the Belfast clubs were competing for Champions League as well, so that did help with my decision there.
Finally, on the Northern Ireland thing in terms of the league, that Glentoran game, you went back up. What was the welcome like? Did you have a fun experience? I know you were probably player of the match, 2 goals, 2 assists, I think, on the day. 5-2 win, albeit being 2-1 behind at one stage. You must have been delighted personally to kind of go back up. And it's always nice in a kind of a weird kind of way to score against your old team.
Yeah, look, I'd be really friendly with a lot of the Glentoran girls, you know. I've grown up playing with a lot of them, so I've known them for years, and it was nice to get back and seeing everybody again. And like one of my best friends, Emma, she's still at the Glens, and you know, it's nice to give her a bit of stick after the game, especially with her being a defender, you know, you can give her a wee bit of stick. But yeah, it's lovely to get back seeing all the girls and get chatting to them all again.
Okay, well, listen, let's take a quick look at the league tables after 2 rounds of that competition. I'm just going to zoom in here a little bit so people on smaller devices can read it. But Piemont United, 2 wins, a win and a draw along with Linfield. They're top of Group A with Bohemians 3 points, one behind the leaders at Lisburn. Knocked out of the competition, they can't finish second in the group. Bowes play Piemont and Linfield play Lisburn in the last group games there. In Group B, Wexford and Shells, 1 foot in the quarterfinals, but Cork and Cliftonville will be hoping to do something about that. Cliftonville have given themselves a really tough task to overcome after that 6-0 defeat to Wexford at the weekend. This is your group. Then Group C, and no apologies, your Group D, Shamrock Rovers and Treaty in the same situation as Group A. They're on 4 points each. Crusaders just behind on 3. Process of elimination, who hasn't played who? I'm not quite sure. I have to just scroll down for a second. I'll find out. It's not there. Well done, Brevney. The fixtures, it is DLR versus Treaty and Crusaders versus Shamrock Rovers, those taking place on the 17th of May. So a little bit of time to go on that, but Treaty probably well placed there to really give themselves a boost this season and push themselves into the quarterfinals of that competition. Crusaders and Shamrock Rovers, that's going to be a big battle as well. Of course, Treaty could miss out with a defeat to DLR. While in your own group, Athlone Town sitting pretty on top with Galway United, Sligo and Glentoran with a consolation fixture between themselves to sort out third and fourth place in that group. If we come back to, I suppose, the future for you at Athlone, it's been a really bright start. I think 3 goals, if I'm not mistaken, in the 4 or 5 games you've played so far. You got to be happy with that ratio. Can you maintain that through the season? You seem to have a really good track record over half a decade of doing that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the rest of the season. You know, I want to push on in all competitions this season. President's Cup included, I've got 5, so I want to push on, and I think I have 4 assists as well, so it's nice to contribute both goals and assists to the team. And you know, if that's helping us get 3 points every week, you know, keep it coming. But yeah, like, my future is just solely focused in on helping Athlone win the league, win the FAI Cup and win the All-Ireland Cup. You know, we've got the President's Cup under our belt now. We want to go and we want to win everything. And yeah, and then hopefully that'll, I'm looking, I want to get a move across the water as well. I want to be playing professional football. So I want my performances to keep going the way they are. And hopefully then that can get me a move to play professional football in England.
I asked you off air, and I suppose I'll ask you again for the benefit of the conversation, but is there anything that would keep you in Ireland in terms of a setup or an offering or a financial package or a kind of an incentive, whether it's the system or the coaching staff or whatever it might be, facilities that would entice a player with your trajectory to go, actually, do you know what? The League of Ireland is somewhere I could play my game and still maintain the level I want to get to.
Yeah, look, I think the League of Ireland it's definitely progressing year on year. You know, teams are getting stronger year on year. There's more and more support coming out year on year. But at the moment, like, I want to be playing full-time football, and it be my lifestyle, be my living, and be playing in the Championship or WSL in England. You know, the standard of there is both very high, so it is something that I've sort of set my eyes on. But I have no doubt in the future that as the game grows and grows more here in Ireland, that there will start to become more professional teams and clubs will start going full time. And that's something that's really exciting to see. I suppose the growth of the game, even the past few years, has been massive. So it's definitely something that will happen, I can imagine, in the future. But at the moment, you see the structure and all they have in England, and it's something that I suppose I've set my eye on and set my goals for, and it's something I would like to achieve.
I suppose we've seen in previous seasons players leaving mid-season or at the end of a season to the UK. Have you got a plan in place? Have you got a timeline on that, or is it very much attention next weekend's game at Lone Town is my concern?
Yeah, I think for me, I don't think about too far ahead in the future. Like, I need to control the controllables, and that's my performances week in, week out. And so I need to focus on the next game, because ultimately it's my performances that are going to get me across to England. So I need to take it game by game and make sure I'm performing every single week, to then get notice and maybe then get a move across the water.
DLR in town this weekend. Thoughts on the game? What have you made of DLR so far this year? Have you seen? Do you get to see many of the games actually when you're kind of playing all around the same time?
We don't get to see too much of it. Obviously, because, well, I suppose we get it if there's an early kickoff. You do get to watch maybe one or two of the games, with our home games especially being 7:30. But it is tough because I suppose you're focusing on yourself for the game. Ahead of, so I'm quite. Like, I've got my pre-match routine and it's just kind of pretty structured, and I don't really vary too far off that. Yeah. But
what are your strangest superstitions? Like, do you have to put your left boot on before your right boot, or do you have to do your hair a certain way? What are the little quirks in the build up to a game?
I suppose I don't necessarily have quirks. I would always now, I suppose it's kind of funny. If I'm wearing my hair like in a ponytail and I'm playing well, I keep it like that. But at the moment I wear it in a plait. It's just, I suppose I've been playing well. I don't want to change. But yeah, I kind of have that sort of routine of coming into the change room. And I suppose put my socks on first, then my under socks on first, then my shin guards, do one by one, and then. But I have to do like the full leg first.
Oh, so then, you do the whole left leg and then the whole right leg, not like one sock, shin guard. It's
the whole sort of leg first, and then you go, and then I'll put my warm-up top on and then go fix my hair. And then that's usually me ready. That takes up the time to before the game.
In what's been the, I suppose, the biggest difference, if anything, in the Athlone dressing room compared to maybe some of the, because you've been in a few dressing rooms now, a few years in Linfield, a couple of years in Glentoran, Sligo for a season, and now Athlone. It's a lot of clubs for someone so young as well. Like, does that ever come into the back of your mind, kind of saying, like, I'm only 21 and I've been at 4 different National League clubs?
Not really. I suppose I just focus on me and my performances. Like, I don't really get bogged down in, like, I suppose, the different clubs. It's just, I want to go and, like, be where is best for me at the time, for me to improve and reach the goals I've kind of set for myself. I don't really get bogged down, but the dressing room in Athlone is really, really good. I find it quite similar, actually, to Glentoran, where everybody gets on, like, every week. Laurie's up at our house bringing us for coffee or for lunch. Like, it's one of them, just real, you're friendly with everyone in the dressing room, which is nice, because when you do win games, and when we won the President's Cup, you know, everyone's together on that, and it just feels like it's a great environment to be a part of, and it feels more special to win when, you know, everyone's played their part.
3 big trophies for the club, albeit before your time. 2 of them before your time. 2 President's Cup and an FAI Cup. Now, you kind of said at the start, and we hear a lot of people kind of say, oh, we're going to win the league. But there seems to be a bit of belief in Athlone now that maybe mightn't have been there 18 months ago. Is that help? Does that help when you're kind of going to training every day and knowing that there's a winning mentality in that dressing room?
Yeah, definitely. Kieran, he's very good at like allowing us to play. He, like, before the games, he'll be like, just play with your shackles off, go in and express yourself, don't think too much about it. And I think that really helps when, I suppose, some managers can get bogged down in the tactics and how we're going to play this week, how we're going to play next week, whereas Kieran is just go out and enjoy it, play with the shackles off. Yes, we do a bit of tactics, but at the same time, it's nice to, as an attacking player especially, to just go and express yourself and do what comes natural to you. And he's allowed everyone to sort of to do that, which has been great. And I know in training we would play a small sided game, and that's quite competitive. No one wants to lose that. So bringing that mentality in from even just wee small sided games in training to bringing that into a match, it does really, really help.
Yeah, Kieran, I'm really delighted to hear that you do a little bit of tactics every now and again in the thing. It's been lovely having you on the show. As I said, we normally have Aaron, so we normally stretch out to the hour, but we're just chatting to you today. Let's maybe, before we wrap up, I'm just going to ask you about the game of the weekend. We've already touched on your game with DLR, but your game, of course, the late game, as you mentioned, a couple of earlier games. If you had to pick one, Bowes Treaty, Piemont United versus Galway, Sligo versus Cork, and Wexford versus Shells, which one of them would you be settling down to watch, or which one would excite you the most as a neutral looking in?
I mean, it's hard to say as a neutral because yeah, we want to go out and win. And I think the one I'm most interested in at the minute is Piemont Galway. You know, for our perspective, we're hoping Piemont can take points off Galway, because Galway are looking very, very strong this season. So, you know, we are hoping that Piemont can take points off Galway. But I think all the rest of the games are still going to be good. Wexford, Shelburne will be interesting because it's in Wexford. And obviously off the back of their 6-0 win against Cliftonville, you know, they're gonna bounce on, and they're going to want to look to push on in the league. So I think it's definitely going to be an interesting week of fixtures.
From your point of view, Shamrock Rovers don't play this week. They had a really good win after a cagey start to the season where they haven't managed to get, well, they've won all their four games in the league. They won a big game last week and now they're idle. How much, when you're a player, does that affect your psyche of kind of, you don't get to build that momentum?
Yeah, I suppose it's frustrating, like having that break week. And it's, I guess it's about what you kind of do in that break week. Do you take a break? Because sometimes that's what players need, is just that wee bit of an off time and bit of downtime that they can spend with family, friends, because the league is quite demanding in terms of just, there's a lot of training, matches and stuff. So it does give a bit of downtime, but it's also, I suppose, finding that balance in that week that you're off to then allow you to still continue to build on that momentum that you've created from a good result.
Any regrets coming to the League of Ireland?
No, definitely not.
Good. Just before we let you go, we're going to take a quick look at the league table ahead of the games this weekend. And of course, all the fixtures there at the bottom. Bohemians play Treaty in Dalymount Park at 3 p.m. Piemont and Galway 5 p.m. in Purell Park, while Sligo Rovers entertain Cork City at the Showground. Shelburne make the trip to Ferry Carrick Park to play Wexford, while Casey's own Athlone Town side will host DLR Waves at 7:30 p.m. So all in all, plenty of action over the course of the weekend. Do get down to your local game. Casey, thanks so much for joining me. It was great to chat to you, probably for a bit longer than we planned due to Aaron's illness, but I'm really enjoyed chatting to you and kind of getting an insight of maybe what's happening in your mind as you take to the field. And thanks for joining us. And we will be back again next week with another show. We will talk to you then. Hopefully Aaron will be back with a bit of humble pie after it gets served up to him this weekend. Talk to you soon. Thanks a million, Casey.
No problem. Thank you.